This morning, we're going to be looking at some very practical things from you about what we've been talking about. But in Acts chapter 13, what we're going to be talking about this morning and what I want you to just consider is literally how to be sensitive and yield to the Holy Spirit. You are going to be sharing primarily this morning how to yield and how to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. How are you learning to do that? How are you learning to yield and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit? And so one of the things, if this is your first time to be jumping into the book of Acts and reading the book of Acts, I'm super excited for you. For me, just to tell you a little bit about my background, I came to Christ. I had no alternative. I trusted Christ as my Savior and Lord when I was 17. And it's been 46 years ago that I trusted Him, that I've been learning, that I've been growing and pursuing. But one of the books that really began to propel me from my religious upbringing, keeping score, keeping track, trying to be good, trying to earn His love, and really propelled me into a life of faith and relationship was the book of Acts. I can remember studying the book of Acts as a young man and just being blown away by the things that I was reading. And even back then as a teenager, as a young 20-year-old, my heart began to burn and I started asking hard questions. And then it's even to today. If you're not familiar, please study with us, read with us, reread with us, restudy the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. Verses 12 is the launching of the early church. What did it look like when the early church was launched? The Holy Spirit. You read in the book of Acts the fulfillment of what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. And He said, hey guys, I'm going to be going. But listen, it's going to be great. Because if I don't go, I can't send the helper on your behalf. And so we see in those first 12 chapters kind of what was going on. Now, I got to ask you a question. For those of you that are listening to me this morning, I just want to ask you, because sometimes we have a tendency to go to the scripture based on our American model of interpretation. Let me just ask you this. Within the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts, if you took the American model for church, how would you put that grid over all the amazing things? Let me get you to think like this. The way that we look at property and buildings as the answer to God's blessings, what are you going to do with the building program when in one day you have 3,000 men, not including their families, 3,000 men added to the church? If buildings and property were the end-all answer, like what we make it here in America, you would have been in a perpetual land grab, temple building construction process to simply keep up with the move of the Holy Spirit. So some of you might be going, whoa, Pat, I'm asking you to read the scriptures without trying to cap it with our cultural perspective on things. So I just want you to understand, that's how I come to the scriptures. So as we're looking at Acts, we talked about last week, let's just keep it simple. So we're in Acts chapter 13, and so all I'm going to do this morning is just reiterate from your own words, and that's why I was trying to say it's kind of like a Bible study. And where in our church history, and I say church in a big church in America, where do we so devalue relationships? As we're launching life groups, for women to get together on the porch and pray together, for men to get together in a shop somewhere and pray together and just share life together. Do you understand how powerful that is? We don't have to have a curriculum. We don't have to have a program. We don't have to have a guide. You don't have to break it up in 15-minute segments, but just to live life together and share with one another. You're going to see a lot of that as you really dig into the book of Acts. So Acts chapter 13, as we're looking, it's the launching. Now, I brought my personal Bible this morning because I wanted you to just see. And I asked last week, And there's two words that I'm just going to continue because I'm just going to let you know. The way the Holy Spirit's been working on me, these are going to be two words that I'm going to be using for myself and with us for the rest of my lifespan. Yieldingness and sensitivity. Yieldingness, being yielded to the Holy Spirit and be able to maintain spiritual sensitivity. Every single one of us in this crazy, chaotic, complicated world that we live in, you know that every single one of us had these same two challenges. Because Romans chapter 12 says it very plainly, but the pressure of this world is to get us disconnected from our relationship, our personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, so that we can't hear the working of the Holy Spirit. And then what happens, what is the natural outflow of that, is we get a cold, hard heart. We become hardtails. Some of you, yeah, you know exactly what I'm saying. So why do we struggle with this? Last week we talked about, we got control issues, we got trust issues. The bigger thing, and fear is all a part of this, because fear is intertwined with the control issues and with the trust issues, but the real issue is most of us are not being intentional enough and we're not carving out time for us to know God personally. If this is, and thank God you're here this morning, but if this is the sum total of how you maintain spiritual sensitivity, you're probably going to get your tail kicked the rest of this week. So how do we maintain that sensitivity? How do we maintain that yieldedness? And I just want to talk to you this morning on the most practical level. Now, this is what I want to remind you of. And some of you may or may not believe this. I believe that God created man and woman. Incredible designer, incredible engineer. You want to talk about analytics off the chart? I mean, he is an incredible guy. But think about this creation was made to know him, to talk with him, to hang out with him, to walk with him, this relationship. And then that was destroyed. And then if you read from Genesis to Revelation, it's this beautiful, beautiful situation of God trying to get our attention so that we can be in relationship with him again. It almost sounds too good to be true. But if you're here this morning and you don't fully understand that, can I just tell you, God loves you and he wants to be a part of your life and he wants you to be a part of what he has for you. God wants only the best for us, and it's through relationship with him. So, I just have to say this real quick, that I have done, and I'm going to continue to do my job to be the man that I need to be to this church family. But I also, one of the visions that we are trying to proclaim and what we're trying to accomplish this morning is that like never before, this needs to be a growing group investment. Hey, Nicole, can you come up here? Come with your mom then. Okay, good. Tanya, you come up here. Milo Weston. There's only two people with that name sitting next to each other. Come up here. Okay. Evan, thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, Chris, bring your son up here. That's good. Gideon! Oh, yeah. I didn't know if that was a remote control or... Now, I could handle that kind of chew toy. That would be good. All right. Come over here. You guys come close. Come in close. So part of what is taking place in this church family, and I've said this before, we've got close to 125 people across this ministry that are invested, that are involved, that are doing things behind the scene. Most of what is being done is behind the scenes, ministering, praying, helping, doing all different kinds of things. And this is what we are approaching in the book of Acts, is that the span of investment and leadership and serving needs to continue to change. And I'm going to do my part, but the goal and the plan is for me as you step up, as you take your role, as... Yeah, you weren't going to move unless I did that, were you?
I don't know, I might have.
Oh, you might have. Okay, but it's about more and more people stepping into being ministers of the gospel. And somehow, over the last years, we've lost that. Like, I'm going to do my part, but we all need to do our part. Do you see yourself as a ministering spirit? And the only way that you're going to be able to walk into that and allow God to use you is through your own personal pursuit of Father God, lifting up and keeping your eyes on Jesus and being yielded and super sensitive to the Holy Spirit's work. This is a vision of Mountain View Chapel family moving forward. More and more of you stepping up and following your heart and doing whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is asking you to do. Because I don't know what that is. I got my hands full with me. I got my hands full with me trying to maintain spiritual sensitivity and yieldedness. Thank you, guys. Did you get the vision, Milo? It's you guys. Nicole, thank you. Thank you for doing that. Gideon, give me a high five. There you go. Grab my goatee. There you go. There you go. He likes to grab my goatee. That's good. I love it. All right, so Acts chapter 13, and I got a roll. I got a roll. In my Bible, I just want you to look. The first very beginning here is that they fasted the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 13, verse 4. And so they were sent out by the Holy Spirit. Now, I wrote in my Bible, I gave myself a PowerPoint illustration in my Bible. And I got arrows here. So I just want you to think about this. And please understand, God is working in this church family not for us to sit on our tails and be comfortable. If you're trying to just be comfortable, I promise you, you're going to be super annoyed with me and us. It's okay to come in, to get to know, to figure things out. But the goal in the early church, all that the Holy Spirit was doing, what happened is there was a group that were sent out. I'm going to just read you, just remind you. I wrote a note that said Antioch. It started in Antioch. I put an arrow, Seleucia, an arrow, Cyprus, an arrow, Salamis, an arrow, Paphos. I put an arrow, Perga and Pamphylia. I put an arrow, Antioch in Pisidia. I put an arrow to Iconium. We are called to do. But not trying to do to earn. We're trying to do because he has forgiven. He has changed. We are actively involved in learning and knowing God. And it makes a huge difference. This is what I did. And this is what I want you to listen to. I asked the question of you. I got a cross representation of you, both services. This is what I asked. Describe your personality in general terms, then explain to me how you believe you are led by the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit get your attention? Now, I just want to give you this before I read. I feel like that with some of you, this is a whole new experience. Some of you have been scared by this teaching and our study of the Word of God. But I want to just say that for some of you, what I'm trying to do is get you to realize who has been with you since you believed and learn how to press into that relationship. It's like this. How many of you have been counting the number of breaths that you've taken since you've been sitting here? How many of you are aware of your pulse or your blood pressure as you're sitting here? In other words, the way that your blood is coursing through your anatomy, or what about your smell, that olfactory, that ability to take things in or to be able to hear? Most of the time, we don't focus on those things until we have a problem. Because there's so much a part of us. We take those things for granted. This is what I'm trying to say. Some of you, you have been taking the presence of the Holy Spirit for granted most of your life. And what I'm asking you to do is to open yourself up and yield to God's gift, His presence inside of you, and then you just be you. So what I'm trying to do this morning, I'm hoping that you're going to get some words, some phrases that are going to resonate with you and encourage you about your pursuit of Christ. This is what the first person that I'm going to read says. My personality, this is hard, and I've pondered this for days because my first response is my negative personality quirks. So here goes. I'm detail-oriented. In other words, I notice things others often do not, good or bad, and I wonder, why did God make me this way? I'm very questioning and quizzical about any and all things. I think I'm simple. Now, although others would say that I'm complicated, I'm helpful, I'm loving, I'm encouraging, and yet I'm insecure at times. I believe the Spirit leads me to be aware of things, a situation or person, an attitude, a comment, or just a simple observation that often leads to a question. How are you? Do you need help with that? Are you okay? I love people and I'm quite content to serve others from the background. The Spirit leads me into conversations and interactions that I don't think I would have started by myself. Often, God teaches or exposes things to me by repeating a theme or a lesson until I finally get it, that aha moment. I think the Holy Spirit is the same, because I must be a slow learner, and it's a nudge, a prompting, a prodding, almost like a tap on the shoulder or a shove if I'm not picking up the cue. You're welcome, Evan. Love you. There are times when I miss the cue. It's my favorite look you give me. There are times when I miss the cue or was second-guessing or questioning it. Then the opportunity is lost. I have to apologize for missing it, and I feel a sense of disappointment, for letting him down. This next one, I would describe my personality as somewhat involved. You go, Cece. I would describe my personality as somewhat introverted, but I love being around and helping people. However, being alone in quiet outdoor settings is what recharges me. I'm a peacemaker that does not like conflict at all. And sometimes I think too much about what other people think of me. Both make me shy to speak up at times. The Holy Spirit gets my attention in various ways. Sometimes a song or a Bible verse or a passage hits my heart and makes something new click in my mind. Other times, the Holy Spirit whispers a subtle yet firm message that pierces my mind and soul, making it known to me that this is not my own thoughts. When the Holy Spirit wants to speak up, or really wants to make himself known, my heart starts pounding and continues increasingly until I release whatever it is he wants me to say, either to a person or actually during prayer. I used to think that when I started crying during a sermon, a song, or while praying out loud, that it was some kind of an emotional sensitivity. But I've learned that this is simply how I feel the overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit working in and through me, which is a beautiful thing, and I have nothing to be ashamed of.
In John 16, Jesus talks about them not being able to bear everything he has to say, and therefore is sending a helper. This sparked an analogy in my head of a sort of flashlight on an infinitely large canvas, God. Then I thought of Plato's allegory of the cave, where the prisoners in the cave only see shadows on the wall, a limited perception of reality. When a prisoner escapes and sees the world in the light of the sun and understands reality, when we first encounter God through Jesus, it's like coming out of the cave where we see a new reality beyond the shadows, but the light is almost blinding and have a hard time discerning what is real. We gradually adjust to the light and the revelations of God become more clear. Now, I'm thinking that as the Holy Spirit illuminates our lives, the more clearly we see God. In doing so, we become more aware of the shadows that obscure God, our sinfulness, but through the process of sanctification, the Holy Spirit makes the light brighter and leads us to greater understanding of God. Not sure if any of this makes sense.
Isn't it amazing as we're reading these, how many people say, I'm not sure that this is making sense, and yet we can relate to exactly what they're saying. And I hope that for some of you, with your religious background, I hope that someone here this morning will gain a sense of freedom that not everything has to be said the same way, with the same word, in the same theological treatise, that the Holy Spirit uses our personalities to help us know Him, but also to make Him known to other people. This person said, I am introverted at heart. I have to work hard to be social. Though I appear to be outward and outspoken, it is really smoke and mirrors of how afraid I am of public opinion. I'm a fighter. I love deeply and loyally. I put Jesus first, and it is important to me that His character is seen in me. As far as how the Holy Spirit speaks to me, I pray hard and sincerely to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I have seen visions at times. Sometimes God shows me things in a picture form and in dreams. Sometimes God speaks through His word, but mostly for me, it's a gut feeling or a thought that I just can't let go of. I won't have peace or sleep until I do that thing or say that thing or follow that thing. Peace is how God gets my attention. My husband and I have always worked hard at having a peaceful home environment. When that peace is disrupted, I know God has something to say to me. He usually won't let go until I do. Pastor, this may all sound very spiritual, but my walk with God is so important to me. I want to please Him in all things all the time. So I read, I pray, and I listen. I don't always get it right, but I'm so thankful for His grace. But I'm trying. This is someone else. If you're familiar with the DISC assessment at all, I'm a high S and an even higher C, which in a nutshell means I'm steady and compliant. When it comes to the S marker, I'm good at listening, teamwork, and following through on what I say I'll do. I'm pretty reserved. My heart is full of bold thoughts, aspirations, and assertions, but I rarely see them come out. When they do, they often come out wrong or in abrasive anyway. I like who I am on the inside, but other people don't see that. They see who I am on the outside, and they're not naturally drawn to me. Some even avoid me, which makes me not like myself. You can go on the website and read the full disclosure of how this person is learning to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and launch out and pursue bold things.
Right, this one jumped out at me because I feel like I found a soul sister. She says, I am stubborn. Well, I am stubborn too. She says, I'm stubborn, a little bit of an introvert, but sensitive, caring, and dependable. And then the rest is written by husband and wife. The Spirit can speak to us through that still small voice. Some call it our conscience. He speaks through other people and through scriptures. The primary way is through His word. That's where we go to know Him and learn His voice. So when we're trying to discern whether it's the Spirit leading us, we ask, does it align with His word? So whether it's that inner voice or other people, it has to align with Scripture and what the Scripture teaches about the character of God, His will, and His work. Obeying God might be hard, but God is not unclear. The more we are consistent in our time with Jesus, I think it gets easier and faster to know when He is speaking. My son-in-law says it like this: it's peace versus no peace. And peace isn't about comfort or ease, but knowing that it's right, even if it's going to be uncomfortable. My daughter always says, the more we do the work to know and seek God, the natural outcome of that relationship with Him and discerning His voice, the easier it gets to be led by the Spirit. It takes relationship and patience. And we have to remember that the Spirit is God.
Another person, one of you, shared. As far as my personality, I asked a couple of folks that know me best what they thought my personality was, as this is a difficult question to ask oneself, since I would only tend to pull out the good stuff in me. Here's what I received. I'm charismatic, I'm loyal, I'm a people person, I'm spontaneous, I'm humorous, and psychotic. Some of you are like, I've been thinking about how the Holy Spirit gets my attention, and I've come up with two answers. Situations, number one. I feel as if God puts me in situations where the Holy Spirit can use me if I'm paying attention enough to be used. Whether it's helping someone or just using my ability to talk, just to tell someone about our church or involvement, to open the door for conversation. Sometimes it's just being laid back in a very stressful situation where I can say, in the big picture, this is really isn't a big deal. The second is nudges. This, I think, ties in with number one. This one, I'm more confident and fully believe the Holy Spirit smacks me alongside the head when there's someone or something that I need to be aware of. I've definitely been way more aware of this, and the smack doesn't need to be as hard or as often because I'm looking and I'm paying attention to this. I think the only way He can use me is to be open and aware of this. We talked last night about how His plan for us and how it may, maybe, just to get that one more rather than going to a foreign country and try to change the world. The Holy Spirit's nudges guide me in that path. Now, this one, and I want to recommend, if you can see, there's already been people that have taken some personality tests. And this one, the person said, I don't know how to describe myself, so I took the test from 16personalities.com. So I want to recommend that if you're in this and you're just trying to figure yourself out. And this person was qualified as an ISFJ personality defender. Defenders are very dedicated and warm protectors, always ready to defend their loved ones. This is a personality type with the introverted, observant, feeling, and judging traits. These people tend to be warm and unassuming in their own steady way. They're efficient and responsible, giving careful attention to practical details in their daily lives. I feel like I'm led by the Holy Spirit to want to help others. I probably get this from my mom. She was the type of person who would stop what she was doing in order to help someone in need. I'm trying to be more attentive to the needs of others by paying attention to things they say or do. As I learn more about God, I felt more comfortable sharing with others about Him, but it usually takes some sort of trigger to get my attention. I feel like the Holy Spirit gets my attention when I hear someone bring something into a conversation that relates to God. I also feel like it tries to get my attention when I miss an opportunity to share with others, like a knock upside the head telling me after the fact, hey, you should have said this or done this instead. I hope that you can hear and sense what is going on in this church body, and you can relate and understand more of what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in your life.
I would describe my personality as extroverted, outgoing, talkative, independent, and find it hard to ask for help. Driven and goal-oriented, but impatient, confident, humble, optimistic, and caring. I feel that when I'm praying for clarity on something, the Holy Spirit gets my attention by repeating messages to me through multiple modalities, such as song lyrics, TikTok videos, or Instagram posts, conversations with friends, testimonies of strangers, sermons, and Bible study readings. I started feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit more when I stopped viewing convictions as a bad and shameful thing and started viewing them as positives. Because if I'm feeling convicted, I know I need to make a change in that habit to bring peace and contentment. Most of the time, that change is simple. I just don't want to do it initially. I began to hear from the Holy Spirit more when I started to add like-minded platforms and people in my life. For example, reading Bible studies more than fiction or watching TV, following Christian influencers on social media, and unfollowing those who don't live the way I want to live, out of sight, out of mind, asking probing questions to friends and strangers who are willing to talk about their faith, etc. Wanted to add, going off of your last week's sermon, I love how you spoke of simplifying how we yield to God. It really is just that simple. I feel like I approach my faith in a similar way to going to the gym or eating healthy. It's a habit that takes discipline to establish, a daily, simple decision if you're going to do it or not. If it isn't always easy, it isn't always easy, but can become easier with routine, and then it makes it easier to stay on task when you surround yourself with others that value the same things, like Bible study and our church family.
This one says, I like peace, not confrontation. I am loyal, hardworking, and I like routine. I can follow as well as lead, and I like for things to be done as well as possible. I like to set and achieve goals. I like to dream. In my daily walk, I normally feel a peace when I'm following him. Despite my circumstances, if I'm relying on myself and not him, there is a definite uneasiness or unsureness that can surround me. He normally gets my attention by placing a thing or things on my heart that stretches me out of my comfort zone. If he wants me to go in a different direction, I become uncomfortable until I obey. If it's matters of discernment, I will simply feel an alarm in my spirit to be aware of my surroundings or situation. It can also be that gut feeling that he wants me to speak or do something for someone. I will feel him pressing upon my heart with a strong nudging upon which I won't have peace until I do what I know I'm supposed to do. At the end of the day, it's all about wanting to be closer to him and knowing him more. The more I know him, the easier it becomes to recognize his voice and prompts in my life. When I obey, I sense that I make more of an impact for his kingdom.
Some of you are getting to know and understand that we are trying to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this community and around the world. But we're not trying to come up with new programs. We're not trying to come up with a slate of programs to where that you can just get plugged in. We're not trying to add to the already pressurized world that you live in. But what we are trying to learn to do is extrapolate the reality to pull out those nuggets from the book of Acts, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the Acts of the Apprentice, the Acts of the Apostles, whatever subtitle you want to use for it. But what we are trying to do is press into those things and each and every one of us become the hands and feet of Jesus individually, where we are, where we work, where we live, so that then when we come together collectively, we can celebrate his presence. We can enjoy the habitation of the Holy Spirit being among us. And we can see, like prairie fire, wildfire, God do incredible things. Because it's not based on a couple of people or an organization. It's based on us being the body of Christ and understanding what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us personally. I've been touched over the last several weeks by people talking to me about how they came to Christ or when they came to faith. One person in particular. And what we are trying to help you understand is that God has called each and every one of you, if you believe and have faith in him, you are a minister. You are a ministering spirit. You have a job to do. You have a plan. The holy God, the creator God, Yahweh Elohim, Jehovah, wants to empower you and strengthen you. You are not alone. The gentleman was just talking, and it so touched my heart. He was going through one of the lowest times of his life. Down, despondent. And he told me, he said, man, I went to church my whole life. I was religious. I believed in God. But it wasn't until this devastating moment in his life where his world crumbled and fell apart that one of the men at the company where he worked came alongside of him and just started loving on him, just started sharing time with him, spending time with him, and was very intentional about, hey, let's just open up the scripture. Let me talk to you from my life. In the process of just that man on the job, he didn't go to a counseling center, didn't go to a worship service. It was another man on the job that took time for him, began to share with him the words of life, and he began to see that he had this huge hole in his soul, and Jesus had never, he had never allowed Jesus and the Holy Spirit, Father God, to invade his life. He reached out to Jesus and embraced him for the very first time. He was experienced spiritual birth. He went from death to life through a preacher, through a missionary, no, a minister of the gospel that worked on the same job setting that he did, who was open to being used because there was a yieldingness about his life, and he had a spiritual sensitivity to not say to him, let me push you to somebody that knows more than I do, but he opened up his heart and shared with him, and this gentleman was radically born again. It's us. What are those things? Who are those people that the Holy Spirit of the Holy God, through our holy Jesus' blood that was sacrificed on the cross, that he wants to flow through you to touch and change other people? It's not me that he wants to flow through, it's you. There are amazing things that God wants to do in and through us. But it's got to be more of us. Everywhere, all the time, all hours, so that we can be his hands and feet. It's up to us individually to keep things simple, fight for spiritual sensitivity, and to fight to be yielded. Because it's us, you, for whom Christ died. And it's us, it's you, for whom Christ wants to flow through as his ministers, regardless of where you are, for his glory, and to proclaim the good news, those glad tidings, to those that are hurting, broken, pushed away, and rejected. Will we respond? Will we be available? Will we be his hands and feet?